If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is, are you free to live and free to love? Good question, huh? So we're going to be looking at that tonight. And it follows in line with a series of seminars we've been doing on relationship, direct relationship, divine relationship, human relationship, and all of the dynamics that go into our interchanges with the love that we are and the love we would like to impart. So let's start, as we always do, with a little bit of an attunement. And we do that most easily by taking a deep breath and with a conscious intention to connect with your divine upline. That would include your higher divine principles, your consciousness, your soul, your high self, whatever languaging you use for that, and the lineages that have brought you as a precious gift from the great central sun to grace this world as emissaries from higher worlds and dimensions. Do you realize that you have come from worlds that have never, ever known anything but love? That's why so many of you feel so alone and lost here. This is a world of amnesiacs. They have forgotten who they are, why they're here, what their purpose is. So, it's your happy task to gently, 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 and with great, great love, awaken the sleeping ones. And you don't go banging into their sleeping quarters and yell, "Wake up!" You're likely to have a pillow or a shoe or worse thrown at you. No, you go in with a smile and a happy countenance. Because do you know how rare it is to see anybody in this world today who's happy, who's free, who's absolutely sharing the joy and the love of life without any personal inhibitions? Do you know how absolutely uncommon this looks to the watching world? That's how you announce that the kingdom of God has come. It has come in you as you. It operates in you and through you. You are the absolute means, the only means, through which transformative energy enters this third-dimensional material world. You're it. You're the whole enchilada. And so those who are your spiritual mentors and benefactors and upline, all the way up to the Lord God, look to you to make room and availability in your life so that you can be used for something that far transcends anything in this world. Anything in your personal life. I think that's awesome. So let's take another deep breath and connect and integrate those higher vehicles of divine glory and light that are filled with treasures from the very throne realms of heaven to be dispensed through you to earth. Take a deep breath. Reach up and in. Bring that energy down. Call it forward. Evoke it. You have to evoke yourself to present the fullness of who you are at a higher level into this earth. You have to call it forth. And once you've called it forth and you feel the energy placed with you, you need to step into and act upon it. It doesn't quicken until you step out to meet someone's need. That's your key. You reach in, you reach up, you breathe it down into you. And as that anointing, that power of God, that enablement from the divine spirit hits you, you then move in an action of service. Something, anything, doesn't matter what. It could be a smile. It could be a handshake. It could be picking up a beer can somebody threw on the street. Clutter. You find yourself just taking care of the planet like it was your living room. You begin to care about every single thing around you. You care about people. And your heart bursts with love for them. Your heart overflows with that divine mercy, compassion, and grace, which we could call the Christ consciousness. You become vessels of living water sent into a parched world that's dried up and gasping for that living water. You are the dispensers of that. You are the celestial emissaries from the divine throne realms of the greater central sun systems. You are royalty. You are the beloveds. You are the sons and daughters of the living God. You are the ambassadors of the divine throne realms. You are the promised ones. You are the collective Messiah. You are the vanguard of way showers, opening humanity to greater possibilities of joy and life and love, an eternal expansion and creative endeavor such as they could not even imagine. So you come also as the visionaries, as the heralds of an entirely new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of operating that is so God-kissed and God-blessed and God-sent that when you walk in the world, people don't even notice your form anymore. They feel that love and that light and that radiance. And maybe they could see the vague outlines of a human being within that glory. But they will be reminded of God, in whose image you were made, in whose name and authority you have come. That, beloved, is why you're here. Oh, I know. People are always asking us, what is my mission on earth? Well, you want to know what it is? Here it is, straight from the Ashtar Galactic Command, from my mouth to your ears. Are you ready? As star-seeded emissaries of divine love, you have been sent to the sick puppies of this earth. sort of like a cosmic veterinarian. Okay. We're using puppies as the example here, although you understand that we're really speaking about people. You know, when a puppy's sick, It's not leaping and barking and joyfully playing and you know, the exuberance and the joy of puppiness. No. A sick puppy will just lie there, listless and forlorn, and will refuse even its favorite food. So we know when a puppy only lies there and refuses to play or eat, that it's sick. It's the very nature of a healthy puppy to play and eat everything in sight as if that would be its last meal. So people are like that too. It is your God-given nature to be happy. It is your God-bestowed nature to be full of vitality and to have a good appetite, not only for food, but an appetite and zest for life, for experiencing life to the fullest. But like a sick puppy, you know, if you happen to see a person who is down and depressed, one who has lost their appetite and their zest and joy of living, you can know that something is wrong with that person. They're not well. And when you are full of life and energy and happy and smiling, no one would ever show concern over the state of your health. So the human being, the Homo sapien, was created to consciously know and experience direct conscious fellowship and relationship with God. Yes, that's what the Homo sapien was designed to do, to consciously know divinity. So it's absolutely impossible to truly be happy, full of joy, centered in peace, and experiencing fullness of life without a conscious connection to the divine source of all life. And every single individual needs to make that conscious choice to reach in to God, to initiate contact. Many people wait for God, but you know what? God is only waiting for you to show some interest. Now, it's probably not really necessary for us to tell that to you. You wouldn't be listening to this show if you weren't interested. But interpret it and what we're saying to the people that you interact with every day, as teachers, as counselors, as emissaries on Earth assignment. Encourage them to be a little bit more proactive in initiating contact. You know, that's so much a key to having a direct experience. You gotta participate in the process. So a person who lacks this conscious awareness of God's presence, both within and without, we could regard them truly as a sick and forlorn puppy. And that is exactly why you were sent into this world. By whom? By Jesus. Jesus the Christ governs this entire universe. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Master of all masters, the Master of all angels. He's the head honcho. He's the boss. He's our commander-in-chief. He is the reason why the Ashtar Galactic Command was formed. It's not about us. It's all about him and his decision to come into a fallen world system and restore it to pre-fallen status, inheritance, authority, and grace. And we came with him, and you came with us, speaking of the Galactic Command, to help in the process. So you're the co-workers of Christ. He actually doesn't want you kneeling in front of a crucifix. He wants you walking side by side with him and serving and loving humanity. He wants co-workers. He doesn't want to see your butt in the air. He wants to see you face to face, mouth to mouth, heart to heart, hand to hand. And then he wants to turn side by side with you and walk with you and allow his spirit, the same spirit that resurrected him from the dead, to flow through you and do marvelous works to the glory of God. Marvelous things. You are a sign and a wonder to the earth that God is. You are the sign and the wonder of the truth of the Spirit of life that dwells within you and operates through you as a living temple. So, Jesus is the boss. He is the head of the office of the Christ. And he is the eternal high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And that is the authority in which you do God's work in this world. Those are the offices and administrative branches and arms of the right hand of God that extends down into the universes to facilitate the bridging of consciousness and the bestowal of consciousness keys so that we can transcend every level of limitation and bondage into freedom. And where the Spirit of the living God is, there is freedom. That's how you can tell when you're operating in the Holy Spirit, the whole Spirit, the Spirit of wholeness, the Shalom, the Pleroma, the fullness, is that you are free. Not only that, but you set people free. A true emissary of God never puts you under subjection or oppression or bondage or binds you to any kind of rules, regulations, have-tos, laws. The higher masters from the great central sun hierarchies of the divine imperishable star realms will never tell you what to eat, what to wear, who to marry or not marry, what to do with your physical life and your physical body and your human free will choices. They will never tell you exactly what you have to do, ever, at any time, period. They set you free. Free to love. Free to live. Free to be everything that God has purposed for you to be. Oh yes, there is a divine completed purpose that was formulated before you were even a thought in your Father's mind, before this world was even a thought in God's mind. You were with God, and a plan was formulated, a perfect divine kingdom plan for your highest divine destiny. And then there's a permissive plan that allows you to ditz around until the hot place freezes over, if you want to do that. But if you're smart, you'll reach into that place where you make contact with the living God within you, and you'll say, I want everything that you've got for me, God. I don't want to settle for half-best or make-do or let's wait until the next incarnation or the next yuga. There may not be one. Now is the moment of salvation. Now is the morning of the first breakfast of our Lord. We had the Last Supper. Now we're waiting for the first breakfast. Be the second coming, beloved. Be the Lord of love. Don't take that glory to yourself ever. You of yourself do nothing. You of yourself are incapable of even taking your next breath without the help, power, and enablement of grace of Almighty God. You can't even be assured that you'll awaken tomorrow morning. So let us never, never ascribe to ourselves any kind of power. It is only the enablement and the anointing and the grace of Almighty God that you make room for that does anything through you. Just like Jesus said, I do only what the Father tells me to do. I of myself do nothing. The Father does everything through me. And every time he was tempted by the evil one, he would counter the lies, the father of lies, with the word of God. He would always say, "It is written." And then he would state the divine principles by which he lived. We need to learn to do that too. That is the way of the spiritual warriors. We have to be wise, discerning, empowered, and very, very steadfast. We have to make our election sure, which means that once you've set your hands to the plow, you never look back. We come to till this world and to sow the seeds of redemptive glory, of grace, of the kingdom of God. But if you look back, then, you know, the plow goes all over the place and you've ruined the furrows. So that analogy is probably more appropriate for farmers. But I think you catch our drift here. Keep your eyes where you're going. Don't look back. If you look back like Lot's wife when she was told not to look back when Sodom and Gomorrah were being destroyed, she turned and looked back. And what happens is that she became crystallized in that particular picture of reality and became frozen in place. I don't know if that actually really happened or if it was symbolic of don't look back and get drawn into the vision and the reality of a world that looks like it's being destroyed. Don't sit with your eyes gazing upon the 1,001 dreadful things that we say on the television every day and hear in the news, because that tends to crystallize you and harden your consciousness until it resonates more with the world than it does the word of the living God. And I have told you again and again, the word of God is not written in a book. I mean, it's reflected in written scriptures, but the real word of God is what lives in you and spoke you into creation. You are the incarnate living word of God, the divine shot, the sound current, the om, the pranava, the hue. There's so many terms for it. But you are the living, singing Bhagavad Gita. You are the song of God. You are the light and sound tapestry, majestically and uniquely articulated into time and space by the creative voice of God. That's who you really are. Why settle for peanuts when you can be the very image of God? You're made in his image and likeness. No, he's not an old man sitting on a throne with a long white beard. God is a spirit. Spirit of what? Spirit of life. Spirit of truth. Spirit of wisdom, everything that is ever known, spirit of everything that ever has been, ever will be, and is now. You're made in that image and likeness. That means you have the potential to evoke and call forward from your human temple, your divine spirit within you, has the potential of bringing through your human instrument everything that ever, ever, ever was known. If you need whatever information it is, if in service you require that particular bit of information, the Holy Spirit of truth within you, the inner master, the inner guide, will immediately drop that information into your mind. So you never need to be worried about what are you going to say or what are you going to do when you have to face certain things. That spirit of the living God in you, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will tell you. That spirit is the spirit of direct revelation. Revelation comes directly from God. It's not something you can study or learn in a book or have some psychic tell you about. It's revealed only to people who have given themselves to God fully and completely. So, let me ask you this. Are you free, really free, right now, tonight, to live and free to love? Well, you are if you are free of yourself. If you are free of your own limited self-definitions, then, and only then, are you really free to live and really free to love. So let me ask you another question. And when I ask you a question, it's for you to take a look. Sometimes we don't think to look because we don't think to ask. And Jesus said very clearly, you have not, because up to now you haven't asked me for anything. So the higher forces of light only respond if you directly ask. That's the way this works. Those are the protocols that the higher forces of light always observe. So you need to ask. And the other part is when you've asked, you need to be open to receive. And you have to receive by faith, even when there's not the slightest indication that anything at all has happened. You have to know and trust by faith that when you ask something so holy as to be free to live and free to love, that's really God's whole purpose for you, that when you ask, it's immediately done. But you may have to be grown up in your ability to maintain that level of power, because such a level of realization is extremely powerful. The greatest power on earth is the power of love. So for you to host unconditional Christ-like love, sometimes you have to grow to feel, you know, the fisherman's shoes, so to speak. You got to grow into that Christ walk. Thank God, none of us have to do that alone. That is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth to live inside every one of us who have consecrated ourselves to walk the way of the Christ, the way of divine love and grace. That Holy Spirit is sent to be our helper, to come alongside us, and to help us move into all of that higher divine destiny that has been foreordained and foreplanned for all of us, for every one of you. So again, let me ask you, are you free of worry and concern about yourself? Specifically, okay? Are you free of worry, fear, and concern over your finances, your future, your health, your children, your age, your physical appearance, your stature in the eyes of others, your success and reputation, your good name, the opinions others hold of you, you completely free of any worry, fear, or concern about those things. If you have worry, fear, or concern over anything in your personal life, then you're all bound up in yourself like a kitten in a ball of yarn. If you're all entangled and bound up in personal matters, then God has no wiggle room to operate through your life. You're too full of yourself. You're not free to really live, nor are you free to really love. So, when we're too full of ourselves, which means the lower personality ego self, you're simply not available. You're not available to be used to work the miracles of God. You're not available for the higher destiny. And of course, we really do want to be available. We really, really do. So I'm going to give you some very, very simple keys tonight. It's nothing difficult. You know, if it were difficult, it wouldn't be from God. Grace is not under the law of self-works. That's the big difference. God operates through grace, which is unmerited divine favor that is accorded you simply because God loves you. No other reason. You don't earn it. You don't work it. You receive it. It's a gift. So here is your key to freedom. So listen up. Your life is not free until you give it away. That's right. You give it up to God in order to live it up for God. Let me say that again. Your life is not free until you give it away. You give it up to God in order to live it up for God. Key number two. Pay attention now. Whatever you give up, yield, and offer to God, whatever you sacrifice, let's say, and give over that's precious and important to you, God will bless and return to you with pressed down, overflowing increase of abundance. So, you simply cannot outgive God. So when you offer your little, puny, petty, flawed, human ego self to God, and when you have the humility to simply say, I don't have anything to offer you, Lord, but if you can use this nobody, this nothing, I offer myself and all that I am to you. When you've done that, oh, wow. Hold on to your hat because you are on the fast track to being free, really free to live and really free to love. And when you are tempted to take back what you've given to God, and you will be because, you know, before you hang a heavy picture on the wall, you're going to put a little weight on that nail to see if it's going to hold. So likewise, you are tested by the world to see if you can hold to that. And you might slip and slide and lose your grasp now and then because that's part of the process of perfecting your ability to hold and maintain that energy. But when you are tempted, just stop and remind yourself, who did this life you think of as yours, belong to before you were born? Or your children? Who was their Heavenly Father and Mother before you gave birth to them into this material world? Who gave you everything that you love so much and derive so much pleasure from? Do you know every good and perfect thing comes from the Father of Light? The Divine Presence bestows every good, pleasurable, pleasing, delicious, engaging, and lovable thing. God gives only good things. Humanity and the fallen self is responsible for the bad things in life, not God. God is wholly good and saw everything in creation as wholly good. So God is the beginning and the end, the author and the sustainer and the finisher of our every endeavor. God is the journey, the means of the journey, the vehicle of the journey, and the destination of the journey of our life. Therefore, when you give yourself, your life, your children, your livelihood, your talents, your goals, your everything to God, then God assumes the full responsibility for your life. Don't worry, God will let you know if he needs any help. So it's been said that God will guard you and protect you like the eyelid protects the eye. Well, that then is what you can do now tonight if you want to be free to live and to love. Now, here are some simple everyday how-tos for all of you star-seeded emissaries of divine love. Number one, accept your own place in God's plan. There is a place that only you can fulfill. Only your particular energy signature of divine love, wisdom, light, and sound belongs in that place marked for you from the foundation of this creation. So you never have to be envious or jealous or desperate that somebody is going to elbow you out of your place or take what is yours. It's impossible. No one can deprive you but your limited concept of what you think is yours. Give it up. Give it up. Accept your place in God's plan. And all you have to do is accept it and ask for it, and God puts you there and equips you to fulfill that plan. And it's always bigger than you can do by yourself. That's the key, that it comes from God, because of yourself you couldn't do it. It takes God for you to live your higher destiny. And accept your place in God's heart as part of God's heart, as one with God's grace, God's love, God's provision. Accept all of what Jesus did for you when he offered his own life to bridge the separation that man had forged through disobedience between himself and the higher divine God realms. Jesus became the substitution and the one who bridged that breach and restored you back to pre-fallen righteousness in the sight of God. That was a gift of grace. So just accept it. All you have to do, hear it, believe it, receive it, accept it, move into it, and operate in that authority of that gift. And just accept that you are eternally, deeply, forever precious in God's sight. Allow that particular point of view to replace any self-judgment and any lesser points of view regarding your self-worth. In fact, here's a good exercise. When you get up in the morning and see your face in the mirror, say out loud, I am favored, highly favored. I am the beloved child of God, and His grace blesses me everywhere I am. Again, I am the highly favored, beloved child of God, and His grace blesses me everywhere I am. Get the sense that you are divinely favored, that God's grace abounds to you wherever you are. God is watching you like the mother turtle watches her little hatchlings. She may not look like she's paying attention, but she's always watching where the little hatchlings are, always protecting and fostering them. Have that sense of the precious overseership of God's love in your life. And again, say these types of things to yourself until you totally believe it, until you just never even think to doubt. You know, people waste so much time trying to find and fix and identify with a self that is basically only a projection of limitation into time and space. That's your human ego self. It's a false identity, which when you fully occupy your physical temple, you become resurrected and born again into eternal life. That's what happens when you truly identify with your God and Christ-like principles that dwell within you, your soul and your Atma, your Paramatma, many terms for that divine principle that's eternal, that you are. But when you find and identify with that, you shine away the fallen shell of death and disease and age and entropy that you call a third density earth suit. That's the secret of the ascension. That's the secret of the resurrection. And again, that's a move of God sovereignly through you and through your life and through every cell of your being that transfigures it to immortality. You can't do that. You have no power to do that. Only the risen Christ living in you, through you, as you, has the power to do that. But it's inevitable. You will emerge as a living son of the living God. Every whit as whole and perfect as your elder brother, the first of the way-showers and emissaries from the celestial throne realms. So see that same highly favored and beloved child of God in every person you encounter. Don't see anyone as less than you. I don't care if they're just so wasted on drugs or alcohol or whatever thing that they can get into to try to mask and numb out the misery in their life, whatever state they're in, reach in and in spite of it all, see the face of Christ in that person. Realize that Jesus the Christ died and shed His blood for every single man, woman, and child on this planet while they were in their filth, in their lostness, in their whatever. So can we do anything less? So outwardly, you express God's love and favor and grace to people basically very simply through your own friendliness. You express the favor and grace of God through active goodwill, through acceptance, accepting people where they are. That's what God does. He accepts you where you are, but loves you too much to leave you there. So likewise, accept people where they are, but if you're a true friend, encourage them to grow, to give their lives over, to give their lives up so they can live up to all God has for them. Encourage them to have faith, to trust, and to make room for the Holy Spirit to occupy and source through them. Have a loving attitude towards every person you encounter. Doesn't mean you have to be mushy, and you can be absolutely silent. The most powerful ministries are often silent, or you just have a loving intention to life and toward people. And no matter what, never judge, criticize, slander, talk bad about another, or condemn another. Ever, 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 never. Jesus never judged. And he set that as an example that we also shouldn't either. You know, no one has any right or authority to read another's karmic mail. Only your own. And you know, if you're busy trying to keep your own life perfectly and impeccably in connection with divine source, I don't think you have any time left over or attention to judge and critique how another person's doing that. Allow for the fact that every single apple on the tree of life, which is how I like to regard human beings, has its own ripe and stage, its own point of perfect maturation, when it's juicy and sweet and just ready to be harvested. And you have the little green sour apples that are going to have to hang on that tree of life, which is a galactic educational program, in case you wondered. It's not a tree in a garden. The tree of life is a galactic program that comes from the eternal of eternalities, the Lord God Most High, and the divine throne realm magistrates. That is for worlds untouched by the fall, that do not have death, do not have aging, do not have disease, do not have evil. All of those things entered into earth with the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Whether you look at them as archetypes for the original seed program, or literally as a man and a woman in the garden, doesn't matter. The point is that through what they chose of their own free will to do, they came into alliance with the knowledge of the tree, they ate of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of duality, good and evil. And the minute they did that, they were afraid of God, and they ran and they hid themselves. And man's been doing that ever since. He's been afraid of God, and he's been trying to run and hide. So fear entered in with that choice to look away from the wholeness and to be greedy, to reach into the things of God that God did not appoint Adam and man at that point to reach into. The tree of life belongs to God. And only God can invite you to partake of it. There is no slipping around and trying to go by another program. But the draconians and the reptilian fallen beings were all too happy to facilitate that fall and to come into and tempt the early Adamic root race. And so that's why we have evil in this world. That's why we have sickness, why people die, why we have sorrow, why we have pain. All of that came in with the fall. People blame God, but God had nothing to do with it. God gave every one of us free will. And we can go by the high road, or we can take the low road. And that's just the way it is. So the whole viewpoint that we live in a world of duality, good and evil, is a fallen misperception that we will outgrow. We will mature to the point that when we look outside, we see only God. Like our friend in India, the Avatar Sai Baba. Everywhere he looks, he sees only God. That's called God consciousness, when you're only conscious of God. And that's our heritage, too. We will be exactly like that when we have fully ripened on the tree of life. We will behold the face of God, the beloved, everywhere we look. So you can practice now to look for only the good, only the divine, only the praiseworthy, only the lovely things around you, only the pure. You know, it's said that to the pure, everything appears pure. I was in an interview with Sai Baba, and I was thinking in my mind, I didn't say it out loud, but I was thinking in my mind that it's like hell living in Los Angeles. All of the gangs and the crime and the graffiti and the drugs. There was a point in my young early years when I just felt like I was being smothered with filth. And Sai Baba turned and looked in my direction, and he said, "You only see without what you have within. When the inside is all good, then all you see in the world is good. Good is God." Then he said, "See God. Drink God. Eat God. Breathe God. Life is a song. Sing it. Life is a game. Play it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is love. Enjoy it." And that's straight from the mouth of a divine incarnation who is fully awakened to his own divinity. And when you go and sit with a person that has attained that magnificent expansion of divine consciousness, it's like a living fire that begins to ignite your own dying embers or struggling to ignite embers, until you too can be a living fire. And Jesus has said that my ministers are candles of the Lord. They are living fire. So that understanding of your divine self as effulgence, as fire, as light, as divine radiance, is an imagery that's very important to own. I was up on the inner plains one night, and they were showing me that when you begin to awaken spiritually, your soul principle, that what you call your Atma, your divine principle, your I Am presence, actually flows down through your nervous system through a form of etheric gas. And as it flows down into the nervous system, it gives you the sensation of feeling. That's what causes you to have feeling that you're in your body. It's a sensation of this soul gas, if you will, pardon the phrase, there just isn't a more elegant word to use here, this etheric gas. And when it begins to be fired with the cognition and realization of who you are, as you begin to fire those codes of divine activation and awakening, I watched each cell in this person's body burst into a little blue flame that looked a lot like, a gas flame on your stoves. It has those little gas flames on your gas burner. The core is pure white, and then there's a golden ring around that, and then the outer flame is blue. Yeah, well, if you have a lot of air in your gas line, it'll be red or orange. I just got the analogy. Wow, thank you, God. Okay, thank you. Like a gas flame, when you have too much air, which means the mental principle, when you have ego mind, that fire looks red and orange and has black smoke. That's a transmutive process of the mind, the lower ego mind, which takes the form of your human misperception of self. That's the form of what we call the ego. I call it just simply the ego mind. But when that has been transmuted, you just see this blue flame, and that represents the pure spiritual Atma, the divine spirit self that has awakened within that cell. So when you think about building your light body, your glory body, your body of resurrected immortality, that is how you put on Christ. It's that soul principle that you are begins to work its way down through your life, through your chakras, into your cellular memory, into every subatomic particle of your being, and it burns you clear. It transmutes, which means it flushes to the surface all of the impurities, all of the dross, and they become consumed until only the pure divinity radiates through you. And at that point, you awaken to an entirely different life. That is truly what it means to be spiritually regenerated and born again. It can start with what's called a sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Please be my Lord and Savior. And teach me everything that you would have me know. That's called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. That's how you start that process. That's how you initiate that process, which leads you to the complete process where, through personal crucifixion, this is where you lay down that ego agenda of your limited human self. You have a laid-down life, as it's called. You lay your life down at the feet of Christ. And then you begin to walk after the example and follow in the footsteps of the Master. And gradually the Spirit of Truth, which he imparts into your temple, he activates the Spirit of Truth within you as you give your life to him. Then that teacher of truth, that Holy Spirit, teaches you everything that Jesus and God would have you know. It's revealed to you as you need to know it. And that's how your mind is transformed. Your mind is gradually transformed from that carnal, human, rebellious, knee-jerk reaction mind to literally the Christ mind, which is absolute anointed clarity and pure truth. And depending on where you are in that process, in this lifetime, I've seen it happen to people instantly. With other people, it's been a more gradual process. With myself, it was instant. And yet, having said that, there were also many years before that of process. And I've come to think that every single thing we do in our life is a step towards God, whether we realize it or not. Everything, every experience, every heartache, every tear, everything, every mistake, it's all grist for the mill. It's all part of that evolution from animal human to superhuman to divine son and daughter of God, to a literal avatar incarnation of God. How we go from the planetary to the systemic to the galactic to the universal. We keep expanding in that divine awareness. There's no end. There's always more. You just keep expanding. That's real life, beloveds. This life here is a green room. It's a rehearsal. And yet it's so very important because here we get to role play, try on different costumes called bodies, try on different roles, which are called lifetimes, work out different relational scripts, which we call karmic interactions, which are either good or bad or whatever, but they usually have energy on them. That's why they lock you into a repetition, is because you have energy on these interactions. And we have to learn to walk in divine love, but also in divine neutrality. You know, when you're in full consciousness, you don't polarize into attitudes and opinions and likes and dislikes, and, you know, all of that dies. That's that laid-down, crucified life that we live. We lay it down. Goes to the cross. And on that cross, the personal I is canceled out. And the Son of God resurrects from the tomb of matter and limitation and ascends to sit at the right hand of God. That's the path for all of us. And we're crucified in those things that we don't want to do. We don't want to go through things. And our resistance is what causes the pain. But it's also part of the process in the lower worlds that the juxtaposition of polarity between the material self, the carnal self, and the spiritual self, that rubbing back and forth is like kindling the fire that is part of the process down here in the lower worlds. So we have to really look upon a process that is often very difficult, you know? When you feel like you're sometimes in a battle inside yourself, where one part of you wants to do one thing and the other part wants to do the other, and sometimes the ego wins, and sometimes the Lord of Love wins, and that's just, you know, par for the course. That's the way it is. But believe it or not, at some point, you just lay it all down. You give it all up. You pack it in. You offer it up. And you cast your burdens on the Lord because He cares for you. And because it's His great joy when you rely on Him. I don't think we can give God a greater gift that gives Him greater joy is when we depend on Him and rely on Him and trust Him with unwavering loyalty and faith. Unwavering. We need to learn to not vacillate. You know, it says in the scriptures that a man that has an unstable, wavering mind He's unstable and wavering in all things in his life. So learning to be decisive and to follow through on the things that we say we want to do is part of that process of learning to be faithful to the things of God. You know, it says in the scriptures that those who are faithful in the little things will be made custodians over much. I think it's so important to even in the smallest details of your daily life, to honor God, to be faithful to the things of God, to make your outer life the same as your inner convictions, so that you learn to be true to yourself, true to the God principle within you. And when you're true and faithful all the time to that higher principle, that higher divine voice of the silence within you, that living word within you, when you're faithful to that, you earn great responsibility in the councils of light. But you know, you're tested for a long, long time before you're entrusted with a real powerful mission. And what is watched is how faithful are you in the little things. When you're tired, when you're sick, when you feel grumpy, when you're not centered, when you're caught unawares, when you're in a bad mood, when you're whatever, can you lay that aside? Can you lay that flesh aside and let the Christ of glory come through you? Can you be faithful to that unconditional love, that trust that you have, that God's grace is sufficient in every situation, always and at all times, no exceptions? This is how we are trained by God and discipled in this world. You know, God is always present wherever you are. God is not off in the sky somewhere. God lives inside you, looks through your eyes, is the witness of every single thought, word, deed, motive, act. And the love is unconditional towards you. You know, you parents certainly don't despise your children because they're weak and selfish, self-serving, demanding, irritating, behave like little hellions sometimes. No, you realize they're children. They're immature. They're tired. They're cranky. They're hungry. They don't have patience. They don't understand what it means to wait, not be catered to. And spiritual infants are like that too. Or just as exasperating as, you know, one of our children. And that's all understood, and that's all allowed. But then these seminars each week are for the closet Christs. For those of you who have attained a measure of spiritual advancement in previous births, upon this or other planetary worlds, and you come in with a degree of advancement here. And it's interesting because most souls that are truly great, I find, come in with not a sense of greatness, but more a sense of inferiority. they kind of take that, I think, to prevent them from getting too full of themselves or believing they're pressed too much. I mean, we also have a feeling that we're very special, that we're not quite like everyone else. But behind that, we also tend to have a kind of a measure of insecurity about our ability to, you know, our self-confidence sometimes comes in, you know, with a very great soul as kind of, you know, kind of shaky. Of course, that, again, is being too conscious of yourself. And that self-consciousness, as you move more and more into the divine impersonal self, as you come more into alignment with your divine principles, your attention and self-consciousness falls away. You know, when you go into the zone and you lose sight of where you are and everything but what you're focused on doing, it's like that. You go into a zone, but you don't ever leave it. When you fully have moved into the higher chakras of self-realization, really know who you are as a divine being, you're not self-conscious anymore. You're not shy because you really, really don't care what people think about you. You really, really don't care. You're not that you're insensitive. You just don't take things personally anymore. And I think that's another very, very big key, is that the people that you work with in this world, by and large, as we looked at before, are sick puppies. And because of that, they are angry, short-tempered, irritable. They fly into triggered rage, you know, and an old, what would you call it, a psychic wound, emotional wound. When something triggers that, they go crazy. They get angry and road rage and spousal and child abuse and all of that stuff occurs when that trigger is triggered. So we have to learn that it's not about us. It's never about us. It's always about healing God's children and loving them whole, seeing them whole, sitting with them as they release the toxicity of their mind, their bodies, their opinions, whatever. We have to not be taking everything that happens as if it were meant to harm us, because nothing, well, let me put it this way. It's very important to realize that every ugly, cruel, hateful, mean thing that anyone does to you or says to you is not a personal attack on you per se. It is the projection that an immature ego does when it doesn't want to be responsible for its own negativity. It tries to push it onto someone else so it can blame and point the finger and dodge the responsibility of having to do anything about it. So you are the sons and daughters of God from the great central sun realm, sent here as rays of light and hope into this world. Therefore, it is crucial that you train yourself not to take things personally. Every negative expression, this is so important to remember, arises from that person's own cry out of his or her own pit of self-condemnation. But the cry is always one for help. That person is crying out of their negative space for help. for understanding, for healing, and above all, for love. So look at all forms of negativity in yourself and in others as a prayer for freedom. Freedom from the prison of self-indictment, of fear, and of self-imposed alienation from goodness and love. So, those of you who are emissaries from the higher worlds are almost invariably sent into difficult situations. You start with usually being born into often extremely dysfunctional families. Sometimes you suffer rape and abuse and parents who are drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever. You know, you go into all sorts of situations because you've come as the light, as the way showers to those people who are perishing, who are lost, who are suffering. So as quickly as you possibly can, you need to step out of all victim, victimizer, blame, shame, guilt, and condemnation mindsets. You need to end cycle on that kind of thinking. You are here to forgive, to love, to inspire, and to be the way showers of a higher way to live life, to show how we actually live in more advanced spiritual civilizations. And people here have forgotten the way to blessedness. They have lost that vision. And without vision, the people perish. So we're always here, and any power that we have, any spiritual ability we have, is not for our use. The anointing, which is God's empowerment, working through your gifts and your talents, is never for you. It is always to be given to benefit others. Always. It's interesting. Sai Baba will not even raise a finger to save his own life when he was bitten by a deadly scorpion when he was a little boy. He had to pass his ability to his school chum to materialize the healing ash and have him smear it on the deadly scorpion bite that very few people survived, by the way. So he will never use his power for himself, ever. And I've noticed that great men and women of God are like that. Sometimes they don't take care of their bodies, and they fall prey to illness because, you know, you got to take care of the temple, because if you don't have a temple, then God doesn't have a home to dwell in. And that temple is your physical body. But sometimes the men and women of God burn themselves out because they don't think to take time for themselves. I only learned the hard way to do that because I did burn myself out. I did burn the candle at both ends. I did give more than I was taking in to replenish my energies. And during those years, I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. If I had been filled with the Holy Spirit earlier in life, I would have saved myself a lot of hardship. But I was operating out of my own biophysical, considerable biophysical spiritual energies that I had built up through many decades of spiritual practice. So people can operate out of a considerable amount of biophysical power that they generate through spiritual practices and mantras and rituals and yogic practices. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's called Shakti or Siddhi. Siddhis are the divine powers that you get just normally when you do a spiritual practice for a number of years. I had to learn the difference between operating out of cities and yogic powers and operating through the living word of the Holy Spirit indwelling. It took me a while to understand that. I wasn't trained in that originally. I was trained in the Eastern Vedic tradition, which doesn't mention that. That's why I emphasize the way of the Christ. It's a more excellent way. It truly is. It supersedes and bypasses the former approaches to God. And having said that, there's a lot of dead Christians and dead churches and people who say they're followers of Christ, but you can tell by their behavior they haven't really moved into that relationship yet. They're just still sitting and waiting. So it's a very, very difficult path, this way of the Christ, I think, because it doesn't give you any wiggle room for self-indulgence ever at any time. You always have to be reaching into and bypassing your own inadequacies to something that transcends your weakness. You have to rely on and evoke and call forward and move yourself into the position of that divine anointing. It's never a passive path if you want to follow the Christ. It's going to take you where you never, ever, ever imagined you could possibly dream to go. And it's going to stretch you farther than you ever, ever, ever could imagine that you would be able to stand and accommodate. But could we expect anything less if we want to follow in the footsteps of the King of Kings? So, again, the people here in this world have been enslaved by self-imposed limitation, ignorance, fear, misinformation, false teachers, false doctrine, the oppression of many, many demonic forces that during the battle in the heavens, one-third of the adversarial forces that rebelled against God were cast down into the earth. So they dwell, in the caves of the inner earth. There is godly beings on the inner earth too, but there's also demonic beings and negative beings and negative ETs that actually live inside the earth and come out in their ships in the earth, from the earth. So this is a battleground for the souls of people, for men and women, and especially for young people today. That is why there's so much sex and violence and drugs and pornography. It's all to try to, and media, it's all to try to steal the attention of our youth so that they will not turn inwardly and find the garden of grace within them and reach into and call forward that closet from the Christ, the closet of, the closeted Christ, to call it forth from that closet. So yeah, we need to be vigilant for the things of God, to prioritize the things of God. And, you have this life, and it's at the closing of an age and the inauguration of a mini golden age. And we're here. You are here. And the one thing that you star-seeded emissaries from other planetary civilizations need to accept that you are here. You are here on Earth now and operating in an earthly physical body. And that's something you need to accept, cooperate with, and learn how to utilize and operate through effectively. You need to understand how you can actualize your potential through this instrument. So the way that we have come as way showers to reveal to the people of Earth is the way of God's loving grace. That's what we've come to show them. That's why it's so important for us to know and experience the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. That is our strength. Whenever you lower your vibration to some sort of hopeless, defeated attitude, negative attitude, you lose energy. That's why it's important to keep yourself stirred up in the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and whoever believes in me shall never see death, but have eternal life." Jesus was speaking of and out of his and your true divine nature as immortal light and love. And that is what we are activating as a collective Messiah, a collective body of Christ, which is not limited to people who call themselves Christians, but the body of Christ is the redeemed humanity, humanity who has chosen back, who has reached into and initiated divine contact and connection, who has evidenced interest in the things of God. And that is anyone in any religion, anywhere, at any time, that has that intention towards the things of God. So only we, in the human form, give God's love a tangible point of anchoring in time and space. You have to have that human form to step down that higher divine consciousness so that it can be potent and anchored and made available as a dispenser, a dispensing device of grace. Now, another important thing to bring to your attention is that only embodied souls upon earth in human form have legal spiritual jurisdiction to govern earth. In other words, a disembodied, disincarnate spirit, a channeled spirit, a channeled extraterrestrial, has no legal spiritual jurisdiction or authority to govern earth. That's why the people of Earth absolutely cannot expect extraterrestrials in etheric, higher-dimensional bodies of light, who are the natives of other planetary worlds, to land and implement changes upon Earth. It's not allowed. Anyone who would try to do that would be the fallen ones, who have a vested interest in the riches and exploiting the minerals and the other wealth that this earth has, and enslaving its inhabitants, if possible, as it did before. So all change upon earth, all decisions and implementation, must come through human choice and human facilitation, through human hands and feet. So the Ashtar Galactic Command has been called a guardian action surrounding Earth. And we can and we do guard. And we do all we possibly can do within universal karmic law to send positive energy and beneficial influences to everyone upon Earth. We do deflect asteroids so that you don't have a direct hit from an asteroid. We do deflect earthquakes. That would be major earthquakes that would take out life in huge cities. We, as much as karmic law allows, deflect them away from populated areas. We'll try to take them out into the ocean. We'll try to take them into a desert or someplace where there isn't a massive loss of life. The Earth is a garden of life. It's for the training of souls. It's for the return to God consciously. No other planet offers that. This is the planet through which you can return back to the highest divine throne realms. And you have to do it through a human body. But we in the Ashtar Command cannot interfere and will not interfere with the actual working out of the Earth people, of the Earth population's karmic lessons and self-elected destinies. This Earth is your learning curriculum. It's your arena of exercising and perfecting and mastering yourself. All souls must be left free of outside interference to make their own decisions and to choose their own path in life. That's how we all have learned to master our conditions and our lives. So even the Almighty Creator of this earth and all life would never violate the freedom and authority He has given Adamic Earthman to be the stewards and caretakers of this planet. The only time we of the Ashtar Galactic Command have been given permission to directly circumvent an action is with regard to total global atomic destruction. We will not permit that. So there we can prevent that from happening because it would poison not only this planet for millions of years, but it would also poison the nearby civilizations within the solar system because you have grids and auric fields that overlap. So again, as your physical body is connected and all the cells within that body, your planet is like a cell in a greater body, which involves your neighbors and other civilizations on other planetary worlds. And we will not permit you to destroy that or to affect other worlds. So there is a certain amount of wiggle room that we do have. But everything that is now enslaving you on your planet, you yourselves, you human beings, have opened the door to through your own desire for power and desire for personal influence, power, and control, and vested interests. And because of that, you have attracted into your world extraterrestrials and interdimensional beings who are just as self-serving as many of you have been. And that's where the door where evil dwells has been opened to Earth. So we are counting upon you embodied emissaries to close that door where evil dwells and to open the gateways of light to more and more people and facilitate their exiting their own self-imposed prisons of consciousness and limitation. And the best way to do it is to live. Really live life and love, really love from the freedom of your divine self. When you do that, you become such a light, such an empowered vehicle of God's glory in this world. Even if you have a silent walk, your aura will speak more loudly, your actions will speak more eloquently, and you will truly forge a way to the very heart of the all that is. So take the hands of your brothers and sisters and say, come. There is a place prepared for you that's waiting for you. Let's go together. I will help you find your way. Have that kind of attitude towards the brothers and sisters on this planet. Love them, encourage them, and live a noble and inspiring life that can be a light unto their path. You have been listening to Commander Lady Athena from the Ashtar Galactic Command, speaking on behalf of the High Council and sending the love and blessings from our United States to every one of our embodied emissaries. You are truly the light of this world. And you are the gems, the precious gems in the crown of God. Let's go out chanting. Let's do Hue. Deep breath. Hue. And we say, Varaga Vasu, Varaga Vasu Adonai.